الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. I think those people who are resting their back away, far away, they are about 60 or 70 years old. So there is haja to rest. Just come forward. So that when the people come, they can sit there. It is from the Sunnah also to do so. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the companion who, when he came into the masjid, he went closer. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah also brought him closer. Al-Imam Ibn Abdul Barr Al-Maliki rahimahullah, in his At-Tamheed, when he explained that hadith, he said Allah brought him closer to his rahmah. So it meant when we sit in the gatherings of learning, we sit close to ourselves so that shaitan doesn't come in between us. And then we don't feel, let me rest and relax. Everybody is closer. May Almighty Allah bring us closer to his rahmah and forgive our mistakes. In the last two, three classes, we talked about some ahadith that are weak. And we kept on repeating, the hadith is weak, the hadith is weak, the hadith is weak. So we could be wondering that why are we always repeating the hadith is weak, the hadith is weak, the hadith is weak. We promised to explain that last week, but we did not. So we thought that today we should quickly do that and then read from the new bab we should read today. In fact, the last hadith we read from the last bab, the bab of Khalq Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. The hadith is itself weak. So when we were emphasizing the hadith is weak, the hadith is weak. So that we do not conceive of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what is not from him, alayhi salatu wasalam. So we would like to mention briefly, because many people are still in the problems of issues of weak hadith. Why are we not relying upon weak ahadith? And by our repeating the hadith is weak, the hadith is weak, don't believe it, don't believe it, it may be as if, why are we just emphasizing, why is the hadith weak? So we don't rely upon weak ahadith. As far as weak narrations are concerned, a hadith is said to be da'if if it is not sahih or hasan. Al-hadith da'if هو ما ليس بصحيح ولا حسن. الحديث الضعيف هو ما ليس بصحيح ولا حسن. Is the hadith that is not sahih, neither is it hasan. Or the hadith that is neither sahih or hasan. Sahih I mean by its two forms. صحيح لذاته and صحيح لغيره. صحيح لذاته, the hadith that in itself it is authentic. If you look at all the rijal, we've always explained what a hadith صحيح is. Severally, when we read Al-Arba'un of Al-Imam Al-Nawawi, we deliberately repeated it. What does it mean? What does it mean to say a hadith is صحيح? So, Al-Hadith صحيح has two kinds. صحيح لذاته, the hadith that it is in itself صحيح, وصحيح لغيره, the hadith that is صحيح for another reason, for supporting or corroborating evidence. For example, a hadith could be hasan. Now we know what a shahid is. We know what a shahid is now. So a hadith hasan can have a shahid from a hadith sahih that will make it become sahih li ghayrihi. If a hasan hadith has a shahid from a hadith that is sahih, it can be sahih li ghayrihi. If we have a hadith that is hasan, but it has also shawahid, we know what shawahids are. That is, it has another report from another companion that is also hasan. It has another report from another companion that is also hasan. They put all these hasan together, and they say it is what? Sahihun lighayrihi. So, a hadith sahih could be sahihun lizatihi, and sahihun li ghayrihi. Similar thing, the hadithun hasanun could be hasanun li dhatihi and hasanun li ghayrihi. Hasanun li dhatihi is the hadith that in itself it is hasan. We know what a hadithun hasanun is, and the difference between hadithun sahih and hadithun hasan. One difference, basically, between the two, between sahihun li dhatihi and hasanun li dhatihi. Just one difference, and that is the issue of doubt. The reporter of a hadithun sahih must be tamud doubt. If you say he is just doubt, you have not properly defined it. Because doubt can be tam and it can be khafif. Tam is the one who, when his reports are compared with the reports of people who report without errors, it is found that most or all of his reports conform with their reports. So we say this kind of a reporter is having what? Tamamud dabt, or he is tamud dabt. But the khafifud dabt is most of it conform, but many of it also don't conform. So it's not like the one whose report, like Al-Imam al-Zuhri rahimahullah, he said, ma samitu shay'an wa nasituhu. Imam al-Zuhri, Muhammad ibn Muslim, ibn Shihab ibn al-Zuhri, one of the teachers of Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah. He said he never heard anything and forgot. The same thing is mentioned of Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah. It was said that when Al-Imam al-Shafi'i was young, he was learning, he would not have money to buy books sometimes. So when he went to bookstores, he would pick a book and make tasawwuf. That is, he look at the pages. He pick a book, look at the pages. And as he's looking at the pages, he's recording the book in his mind. That was why when he met Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah, he had memorized Muwatta. So when the people would read from their book, he was being asked, where is the copy of your Muwatta? He said, it's here, Imam al-Shafi'i. So these kind of people, they are not only referred to as thiqat. That's why when they are asked about, but some of the ulama will say, la yus'al an mislihim. You don't ask about the doubt of people like that. The doubt is more than tamud doubt. There are a lot of people like that, even till today. We tell them one thing, because the meaning of doubt is huwa yakbiru an yastahdira ma qad hafiwa. You are able to make istihdar of what you had memorized when at the time that you need it. This is the meaning of doubt. Someone had known something 10 years ago and he's asked today, what was so and so? And he's able to give you that same information at the time that he needed it. He said he had doubt. And then when the information is compared with what he had initially, so it's tamam. It has slight mistakes that are overlookable, overlook it. So the further away the reports of a reporter are to the report of standard, known, reliable reporters, then the weaker his memory is said to be. Do we understand? So the difference between tamud dabt and khafifud dabt is, we say the other one is tam, completely, you know, reliable, even when it is not all tam. Yukhti'un, they make errors because they are from Bashar. But their errors are negligible. They are negligible errors that they make. They are negligible errors that they make. So we say those people are tamud dabt. But the khafifud dabt are those, like we described, most of their reports conform to the reports of reliable narrators. But maybe you can say 60%. So we say those people are khafifud dabt. So when those kind of people report hadith, their hadith is called hasan. In English you say it is sound. So a hadith is either sahih or hasan. If a hadith is sahih or a hadith is hasan, we depend on them in our sharia. So this hasan, it could be li dhatihi. That is all of what we have been talking about. But it could also be li ghayrihi. The reason why it could be li ghayrihi, we explained last week. Maybe because of a shahid or a tabi or shay'un ma yuqawi
هذا الإثناء or something that will give strength to make us understand that yes, this report is authentic. If it is a hadith that is weak, because there are many things that can cause a hadith to be weak. Some of those things are connected to the asanid, and some of those things are connected to the report staff themselves. I'm talking about some of those things are connected to how the reports came. As-saqtu fil isnad. And they'll be talking about issues of irsal, be talking about issues of inqita, if you're talking about issues of i'dal, if you're talking about issues of there were five of them that are connected to saqtu fil isnad. You'll be talking about inqita, you'll be talking about tadlis, you'll be talking about irsal, if you're talking about ta'liq, if you're talking about i'dal, five. So all of these are ways by which a reporter is missing in the chain of narration. So when the reporter is missing by any of these ways, if we have time another time, inshallah, we'll give us some explanations of each of these. If we do that today, we'll not do anything. And this class will just be a mustalih class. But perhaps we should do it, because there is benefit in all these things. These are things that we hear by the day and we read by the day. And there is need for the average Muslim to get familiar with these things. At least know it's sathiyya. If he sits down now and learns it, aha, we say, oh, ayatabaharu fi. He is now becoming, you know, ingrained in its learning. So these things are very, very important. Have little knowledge of it. Today, many people, once they can pick Arabic, they begin to read books. And they read the books, we encourage brothers to read books that are written by the scholars of Da'wah to Salafiyah. And there is no way they will write a book except they will be telling you that a hadith is sahih or hasan. Mawkuf, marfu, mu'allak. Let's just take one simple example. The hadith reported by Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, it can be in different forms, but one is obligatory to mention. Like Al-Imam al-Bukhari mentions a hadith mu'allakun in Sahih. It is different from Rawah al-Bukhari. If a person says Rawah al-Bukhari, for a hadith that Bukhari mentioned mu'allakun, we say he doesn't know what he said. Ma mayyaza baynahuma. That is, a person reports a hadith that Al-Imam al-Bukhari reports from his usul, because he has what he mentioned. It is not every hadith that you see in the book called Sahih al-Bukhari that is part of Sahih al-Bukhari. It is not every hadith that you find in the book called Sahih al-Bukhari as a book that is part of Sahih al-Imam al-Bukhari, from the Sahih of Imam Bukhari. He included some reports that are not from his basic reports. And they are of different kinds. Some of them are shawahid, alhamdulillah, we know what a shahid is. Some of them are mutaba'at, alhamdulillah, we know what a tabi'ah is. And some of them are mu'allaqat. Mu'allaqat are those narrations that, for example, Al-Imam al-Bukhari will say, Qala ibn Abbas, kaza, kaza, kaza. He did not meet Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, died in about 60 years after Hijrah, in Ta'if. So how could Imam al-Bukhari, who was born in about 240 something, how could he have been saying Qala ibn Abbas? But Qala doesn't mean Sami'tu or Haddathani. So he had removed the isnad between himself and Ibn Abbas. This kind of report, if you go to Sahih Bukhari, you see they are called mu'allaqat, allaqahu. He cut it off and hung it. He hung it because he removed the isnad. It is the isnad that gives a backing to a hadith, like a ladder to someone who wants to climb a roof. So when you remove the ladder, you have hung that person on top of it. That is ta'liq. Allaqtahu hunak. Lugatan. So that is what Imam Bukhari does. He will remove the asanid and he say, Qala ibn Abbas. You see, especially in Kitab al-Tafsir, in Sahih Bukhari, this word Qala ibn Abbas is so common in it. And that, Al-Imam al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, these mu'allaqat, he went and searched for them and searched for their asanid. And for that, he compiled a book called Tazbiq al-Ta'liq. You know, we said ta'liq is to hang something. So he said tabliq ta'liq, connecting what has been hung inside Sahih Bukhari. That is in six volumes. Ibn Hajar rahmahullah. So if you find a hadith that is reported mu'allakun in Sahih Bukhari, you want to know where is the isnad. If you go to Tagliq al-Ta'liq, you see that. So you see that ta'liq of an isnad is from the evidences of breakage. It shows that there is some missing link. If we can't find any isnad for the full people between the person who wrote the book, Bukhari, for example, and Ibn Abbas, the hadith is weak. So any person who is reporting a hadith that the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, and the hadith is only in Bukhari mu'allakun, he must say Rawah al-Bukhari mu'allakun. If he only says Rawah al-Bukhari, and a person who knows the science of hadith, you can say, this person does not know what he's saying, Ma Rawah al-Bukhari. And there is the prayer, but it's inside Sahih Bukhari now. You say Allah, ma rawahu al-Bukhari, huwa rawahu aw zakarahu mu'allakun. Because it has a meaning. It is different from what Bukhari has reported, rahimahullah, musnadan. It is different from what he has reported, musnadan, yani marfu'an mutasilan. That is marfu'an that he ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's a linked chain of reporters that every person reported from the next person that met him. What we are saying is that weakness of a hadith can come from the sect, from a breakage that will come in the chain of reporters. It can come from the chain. And then we can have a ibal and inqita and tadlis and irsa. We are trying to say that any hadith that is not sahih or hasan is da'if. So we are trying to describe the aspects, the forms of a hadith and da'if. So those are the forms. The breakage, the problem could come from the linkage, and the problem could come from the people who reported it themselves. Like people being people of bid'ah, and that he has reported a hadith that is supporting his bid'ah. Like somebody being weak in Sayyid Hibs, they will call it, that his memory is very bad. If he hears something being called arranged as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, he will say it was arranged as 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. He will report it in the opposite. Or he will say, no, it was reported as 7, 8, 9. He will even mention something that is not there completely. And when he will mention something that is there, maybe 3, 2, all the rest are not there. He will just mention it. Like you will see when we read the hadith of Ali, that was said to have been reported by Ali radiallahu anhu in this report. It was mixing up and, you know, this is one of the evidences of a weak report. It's mixed up. So the person who mixes up this kind of a report like this is mentioned to be what? A weak report. In many cases, if it is really, really bad, they call him Sayyid al-Hibs. So the problem could also be with respect to his adala. That is someone who is known, for example, he makes his bad. And that's why it's different. It is difficult for you, Ikhwan, to see somebody learning the science of hadith and it's a regular sinner. It's difficult. Because his adala will be destroyed from the very beginning. His adala is his trustworthiness. From the conditions that a hadith is weak, that it must be reported by an adlu. We have been talking about dubs. But it must be reported by an adl, somebody who is trustworthy. Man la yartakibu al-kabira la yaghfiru ala al-ithm. He will not be continuous upon a sin. He is lying, or he backbites, or he abuses people, or he drags his lower garment. It's difficult to find a real talibul ilm fil hadith. He is making his bad. He is walking and they are telling, please, brother, raise your. It will not be. If it happens, it is an error. Because from the very beginning, he's destroying the essence of his getting engaged in that science. You not see a talibul ilm fil hadith shaping his beard. It's very common now. If you go to madaris, you see the ustaz, you see them, they shape the beard, they clean it up. Like Teddy, like a fine boy. No, he's keeping the beard for the sake of Allah. So whether it is fine or not, he leaves it like that. If a baba mistakenly cuts it, he says he leave it, leave the rest like that. Like al-Imam Sulaiman ibn Mihran al-A'mash. Somebody bothered to say, I mistakenly cut the beard, say, leave it like that. He was carrying it about like that. So this is the way the people of hadith are. Leave it like that. That one that is mistake, afallahu amma salaf. Wa man aada, fayantakimullahu minhu. Aha. If you now say, oh yeah, just cut the rest, fayantakimullahu minhu. Wallahu azizun zintiqam. So, but like the one that came as a result of mistake, afallahu amma salaf, Allah has promised the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, this hadith is Hassan, that he has forgiven the Ummah what people do out of mistake. Oh Rabbana la tu'akhidna in nasina aw akhtana. In Sahih Muslim, the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah said, yes, I grant you that. I will not hold you upon errors. So you not say Talib al-Ilm fil hadith is arranging the diet. You know what I mean by arrange? You will say you want it to clean, you want it, nah. You will not seem like that. So his ilm is his life. His knowledge that he's learning is his life. Is his life. If he does anything that's against the Sharia, he has made a mistake. Or he has a ta'wil somewhere. He has an explanation somewhere that may be right or wrong. That's why they say, La taf'alu kama yaf'alu al-faqih. Salhu yusaddikuka. Don't do as he did. If he did something that you find someone asking, why did you do so? Yusaddikuka, he will give you the reason why he did it. So, the scholars of hadith hold adala very, very important. Not only that, adala is far. That is, they are being trustworthy and their personality. Their muru'ah is also there. Muru'ah is the fence for the house called adala. When the muru'ah is destroyed, the next thing that will be destroyed is adala. But the person who has adala, he uses muru'ah as the fence. Muru'ah are living things that are things of eminence and nobility in the community. Things of eminence and nobility in the community. When people do it, it is noble people that do it in the community. I give you an example, brothers. If a person wears jeans up and down with a cap, it is difficult to say he has done anything that is haram if the jeans is not going below his ankle with a face cap to match. And he comes and says, "Assalamu alaikum. I was the chairman, I was the student of hadith with Sheikh Ibn Kathir in Damascus." You see, Sheikh Ibn Kathir. Is that how they become Sheikh? You dis your jeans up and down. Because that jeans up and down that he has put on with a face cap is not the dress of noble people in the community. It's not the dress that noble people wear in this community. So, issues of muru'ah will make them. There are some places when you stand there, people say, "Ah, Mala, you are standing here. Why are you standing here?" Like a man stands in front of a brothel. How is that? Talib al-ilm fil hadith. He has there this fustat and everything. He stands in front of a brothel. A brothel is a place where prostitutes converge. He's waiting for somebody. They ask him, "Mala, what are you saying?" "I'm waiting for a brother, Blaziz." I say, "Ah, but don't wait here, wait there." So these are issues of muru'ah. He will not do something like that. Issues that things that noble people don't do, he will not do it. And the same way, people that people don't relate with, he will not relate with them. Like you see somebody smoking Iguna, he goes there and say, "Ah, how far?" "It's Muhammad, Bashir, how far now?" And people say, "I'll start, what's happening?" He say, "I'm just greeting them." And he's doing like this with them. Noble people don't do that. So these are issues of muru'ah. You may not be able to say it is haram, but it is not something that noble people, respected people do in the community. A student of hadith or a scholar of hadith will not do it. So these are issues of muru'ah. So when a reporter of a hadith is found to have problems in these aspects, they say his adala has been destroyed. He's been a trustworthy, noble person in the community, is destroyed. So when the problems are regarding these, their own ahadith, the ahadith of those whose adala is destroyed, you don't find taqwiyah for it. You don't find a shahid or a mutaba for it. You don't start looking for shahid. It's weak. If Allah makes you see something someday, say, okay, you take by that, not by his own report. So these are ways that a report could be weak. The report could be weak because of a sucked, a breakage in the link, in the chain of transmission of that hadith. Or the hadith could be weak as a result of the persons who reported the hadith and the problems that are peculiar to them that they have. So whenever a hadith, don't forget, ma al-hadithu da'if, the hadith that is weak is ma laysa bi sahihin wala hasanin. What is not sahih and what is not hasan. So when these people report a hadith, to say, "No, this hadith is weak and will not depend on them." So this is what we mean by weak hadith. And we have seen examples of that. But But the scholars have three opinions. The reason why I want to mention this is that many times I don't like personally mentioning opinions. Because it may not be necessary. What is most important is that the truth is mentioned about a matter. Adam Umarifatil Shar La Durunas. Not knowing evil will not harm you. What will harm you is not knowing the correct thing. Not knowing evil will not harm you. What harms is not knowing the correct thing. If a person does not know the correct thing, it harms him. Because sometimes when people mention issues of difference of opinion, people become confused. They start saying, which one now we go take? This happens a lot. And when the person explaining, mentioning difference of opinion wants to say, take this, he's not able to say, take this for so reason. He's not able to mention Murajih. Maybe he just like Sheikh Alif that mentioned the position. He says, take this because it's the position of Sheikh Fulan. That is not the correct way of knowing the best way to take. So anyway, personally, many times I do not mention difference of opinion on matters. Not because one is not aware of some of those different words, because it is not the most important thing. The most important thing is that one knows the truth. In fact, in many cases, even when you don't tell a person that there are differences of opinion, but you tell him the truth, when those people of difference of opinion come to tell him and he has known the truth and the evidence for that truth, he will refute it by himself. He will refute that untruth by himself. That weak position. He will refute it by himself. But today, inshallah, we'll go out of that qaida. There are three opinions from the scholars about the applications of use of weak narrations amongst the Muslims. Al-ihtijaj bil ahadith al-da'ifa. Making evidence with ahadith that are weak. There are three positions from amongst the scholars. The first position is that man ra'a al-ihtijaj biha mutlaqan. There are some who say yes, they can be used as evidences. And they too, they gave reasons and conditions. They say that when you want to use a weak hadith as evidence for something, that is an la yakun ad-da'ifu that the da'af should not be very weak, like the reports of those whose problems is from their adala. Their own reports are very weak, just next to being maudu, fabricated. So those ones, you don't use them at all. They also said that Allah yujad fil badi ghayruhu, that regarding that subject, you didn't find any other evidence except that hadith that is weak. And it is not very weak. He didn't find any other one. And then they say that Allah yu'aridahu shay'un sahihun. And that nothing should be known from authentic hadith that contradicts that weak hadith. So when you have a hadith that is not very weak, and that you didn't find any other except that hadith, and nothing contradicts that weak hadith from authentic hadith, you can depend on it. That's what they say. It's an opinion. They say that it's better than using your own ra'i, using your own independent reasoning. So they say that it's better than it. This position has been ascribed to people like Imam Abu Hanifa and all that. So this position does not have any other evidence than that. It's better than individual positions. It's better to take a weak hadith than an individual position. It does not have any other evidence than this. But this itself is clearly a weak thing. Because that would be implying that there are aspects in the life of a Muslim that have not been authentically reported. Do we understand? That there's a matter. We didn't find any authentic hadith. And the hadith is not very weak. It means that there are aspects, if we depend on this reasoning, there are aspects of the Sharia that has not been authentically reported. And Allah has assured us that this deen is something that la ya'tihi al-batilu min bayni yadayhi wa la min khalfi. And then he says, inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu laha. So where is his? If it cannot be transmitted with authentic report, except with a report that is weak. So this position itself is very weak, very weak. The second position is the position of those who say, okay, we will not use weak ahadith regarding issues of halal and haram, al-ahkam. this is halal, this is haram. We will not use weak hadith. But we will use weak hadith in fada'ilul a'mal. Fada'ilul a'mal is that, like somebody tells you, for example, that it is permissible to perform salat al-zuhr. Not that it's permissible, it's wajib or not. It's from the khams salawat al-yawmiyyah. So if somebody comes and says, any person who performs salat al-zuhr, Allah will give him 1,000 words inside al-jannah. This is fada'ilul a'mal kind of thing. It's encouraging him towards performing salat al-zuhr, even when salat al-zuhr is originally established in the sharia. So can somebody perform salat al-zuhr having intention of this? So they say that it's permissible because it does not change the ruling of salat al-zuhr. But salat al-zuhr is mustahab wa ma yani wa ziyada. That salat al-zuhr is mustahab and something which is wajib. So but this one is only encouraging you to perform salat al-zuhr. So they say it has not changed anything regarding salat al-zuhr. So since it has not changed anything, so one could have it in mind. And this, they evince this their position in a very, very funny way. That if you have that reward in mind, if that weak hadith is now true, then you will have the reward. If the weak hadith is not true, then you have not lost anything. And then they quote a hadith to establish this position. They say that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that man balagahu anillahi fadlun, whoever that something reaches from Allah of virtues, of excellence regarding a matter, فَأَخَذَ بِذَلِكَ الْفَضْلَ, and then he took to that thing of virtue, أَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ مَا بَلَغَهُ, Allah will give him that. For example, someone tells him you get 200 wives in Al-Jannah, for example, if he performs Salat al-Zuhr. But he now believed it and acted upon it. Allah will give him that thing. وَإِنْ كَانَ الَّذِي حَدَّثَهُ كَاذِبًا, even when what he was told is a lie, he will still get that. This hadith itself is mawdu. It's in silsilat wa hadith al-da'ifah. The hadith upon which they base, the hadith is worse than the opinion they are defending. Well, they are trying to defend a hadith al-da'ifah. But the evidence to defend a hadith is itself mawdu. So, but they say, okay, but there are shurutu, there are conditions. The first condition, there are about seven they have mentioned. They mentioned six, Ibn Hajar added one. Rahimahullah. That an yakuna da'ifu ghayru shadid. That the da'if should not be shadid. That is, it should not be a hadith regarding, they say, for example, da'ifun jiddan. أن يكون الضعيف تحت أصل عام, and that ضعيف should be under an أصل that is عام. For example, the example of صلاة الظهر that we gave. You know that for that fadl, the virtue has an أصل. The أصل is that صلاة الظهر is already established. So it should be something like that. It should not be something new. They start something new. Like somebody says, anybody who performs two rakats after, like somebody says, any person who can go around kinkino 20 times, that there's one kinkino in the hadith. When you found the kinkino, it is this kinkino wherein you live. So in that hadith, there's anybody who goes around kinkino 50 times, by each time that he goes around kinkino, Allah will build a house for him inside Al-Jannah. You see, Allahu Akbar. So when he arrives here, he's looking for kinkino. They say the kinkino is in Nigeria. He's looking for kinkino, he not got kinkino. He says, inshallah, there's hadith, and he brought the hadith. Maybe one Al-Hakim al-Tirmidhi reported the hadith. Because Hakim al-Tirmidhi, or Al-Hakim al-Tirmidhi, or al-Tirmidhi al-Hakim, from what he said about himself, that if he sits down and he thinks something, this thing is good, he will start writing it down. So he has a book, Al-Jami'u al-Usul. Somebody used to call it Al-Jami'u al-Shurur. So he got that book, said, there's one book, Al-Jami'u al-Usul. There's one hadith in it. And he comes here and starts running about. You know, he has started something new in the Sharia. That thing does not have any asl in a hadith that is authentic. This is not what they are even talking about. Even when many of those who have been depending on weak ahadith have depended on weak ahadith for things that do not fall under asl in arm. Many people who depend on weak hadith for things have depended on weak hadith that does not have or fall under an asul that is what arms. This one of the criticism against this position. Now, how do you explain to the man on the street who does not know anything that area asul arms? He is only that he saw hadith. Like these two people read in this town, it's very common. Ahadithul Mukhtara. Mukhtarul Hadith. Because Ahadith Mukhtara is by Imam Diyauddin al-Muqdasi. It contains very many authentic hadiths. So this one you read in your town is called what? Mukhtarul Hadith. It contains many funny narrations. So someone reads it now, he's on that, he's read the hadith and say, Mazwala eche. That's why he's going to say, they say the prophet say. So he starts running around thinking, you know. So how will he know that this one has not fallen under Aslin arm? He doesn't know. How will he differentiate? Sheikh Lalwani was saying, Rahimahullah, how can a person who doesn't know the science of hadith differentiate between al-hadith that is da'if and da'if jiddah? Brothers, it is not easy. Sometimes you may not be able to differentiate. You may not, even a scholar sometimes may not be able to say this hadith is da'if or da'if jiddah. He will just say da'if. So if he says it is da'if, even if it is da'if jiddah, it still follows it. He will just say da'if. So to make tamyiz between da'if and da'if jiddan is not the job of the layman on the street. So how will the layman be acting by a hadith? A layman is able to tell that the hadith is not da'if jiddan, it's only da'if. Have you heard that before? A layman doing something like people in Jama'at to tabligh. You this one say, no, the hadith is not da'if jiddan, but it is da'if. And they say we can act on da'if, not da'if jiddan. He's not able to make tamyiz. He does not have ahaliyah. To differentiate between these things. So how are you giving that kind of a person conditions? The third condition they give is that Allah ya'taqida inda al-amali bihi subutahu. That when he's acting upon it, he should not intend in his mind. He should not believe that it is established. How can a man travel from Akhir al-Dunya to Kinkino, to round Kinkino, and he does not believe that it is established? Do we understand? They say from the conditions of acting upon weak hadith is that the person should not believe that what he is doing is established in the Sharia. So why is he doing it? Why is it, he does not believe that it's established? Why is he doing it? Don't forget the two asils for acceptance of deeds. Ikhlas and Mutaba. Under Ikhlas, you have one thing there. Istisab. You are expecting to be rewarded. For it. How can you be expecting to be rewarded for something that you already believe is not established in the Sharia? So these things, these conditions have problems. The other one, أن يكون موضوع الحديث في فضائل الأعمال. That the issue, the topic of discussion of the hadith should be regarding fadail. We'll explain that at the beginning. The other condition, the fifth one, أن لا يعارض حديثا صحيحا. It should not conflict an authentic hadith. How many hadiths have people acted upon that are weak and that contradict authentic hadith? Many. Many that people act upon. The sixth condition is that Allah ya'taqida sunniyata ma yadullu alayhi, yani ma yadullu alayhi al-hadith. He should not believe that what that hadith points to is a sunnah. And what Ibn Hajar rahimahullah is that he should not do it in public so that when ignorant people see him, they will not think that it is. So you see, all these conditions, they will clearly make us understand that these things are, like Sheikh Abdul Karim Al-Fudayr said, that it is difficult to follow them, even for scholars, talk less of the people on the street. Despite the fact that they are clearly baseless. The baselessness is clear. So don't say in Fadail al-Amal, because even the shurut for acting upon ahadith al-da'ifah in Fadail al-Amal are baseless shurut. A shurut that does not have a dalil. Not in the Quran, not in the Sunnah. So what is the evidence for the shurut? All of these shurut. What is the evidence for them in Quran and Sunnah? So that is the second position on acting upon weak hadith. And that position, like the first one, is weak. In fact, in my opinion, this second position may even be worse than the first position. Because you are given a condition by which somebody should be. In fact, it is not only in Fadail al-Amal, they will even use it on Ahkam. Let me give you one small example. I've always been mentioning this example because it's very, very common on the lips of people. If you ask a man, is it permissible that a man should marry a woman that is older than him? Is it permissible? Nobody is answering. Is it permissible? What is the evidence? You see, marriage of the Prophet of Khadija. That hadith is not authentic at all. In fact, they are all near Mawdu'at, Manakir, Mawdu'at. You see now? And as he said, many billions will say that, of people who know this issue. Many people will say that Khadija radiallahu anha got married to the Prophet. She was 40 years old. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 25 years old. So somebody can marry a woman that says, ah, this hadith is weak. So that issue of whether it is permissible or not, is it from the Ahkam or from Fadailul Aman? It is of Ahkam because we started talking about Jawaz, Mubah. And Ibaha is one of the Qawaid of Shari'iyya al-Khamsa. So even if it is issues of Fadail Amal, to say that an Amal has a Fadl is from Istihbab. You are encouraging the person. While Istihbab hukmu min Ahkam al-Shari'iyya. It's from the Ahkam of Shari'iyya. You don't establish it except with a hadith that is authentic. So what is most correct, Ikhwani, is the position of the third position of the scholars who say that it is not permissible at all, whether in ahkam, in issues of halal and haram, or issues of fadail al-a'mal. So you ask, what is their own evidence? Coco? You ask, what is their own evidence? Because we say, oh, those other people have evidence. They have evidences. They say that the first evidence is that all the scholars of hadith believe that a hadith from da'if, they say mardud. That if you say a hadith is da'if, and you say it is da'if, mardud. Something that is mardud cannot be evidence in the Sharia. Secondly, they say a hadith is da'if, la yufidu al-ilm, yufidu dhann al-marjuh. Dhann al-marjuh is, there are two aspects of dhann al-marjuh. Dhann is stronger than shak. Sheikh Uthaymeen explained that in his Sharh of Usul al-Salafa. One is, you are thinking that it is most correct about this matter. The shak is, you are equal, whether it's correct or wrong. Correctness or wrongness, 50-50. But one has a greater percentage of correctness in your mind than that thing is wrong. So, because the meaning of a hadith in da'if is that a hadith that you cannot prove that it has come from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It might have come, it might not have come. Because the person who reported is a weak reporter, he's not a reliable person. He could have reported the correct thing, and he could have reported the wrong thing. It is this wrong that makes us, okay, most likely. Because he's always reporting wrong things. So the wrong knowledge about him is that the report is weak. So you drop that report. So the one is more stronger in the mind that something is correct than that it is wrong. Now, the one itself has two kinds: a one rajih or one marjuh. One is that you have not just been able to quote to say it is 100% true, but you can almost say it is 75 to 80% true based on evidence. This one is called one rajih, and the one that is just it's true, maybe 60% true and 40% falsehood, you give that one dhannu marjuh. But when it is 100%, it is not dhannu again, it is ilm. But when it is below, the truth in it is below 50%, it is shak. Then when it is, the truth in it is less than 50%, for example, it says it is what? Waham. So these are how these things are. So the ulama say a hadith in da'if is dhann marjuh. That what is most clear that is most likely he has made error, because he is known with error. And Allah has predicted us from acting upon dhann. He says when he abuses the people, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا dhann وَمَا تَهَوَى الْأَنفُسُ. They are not following anything except what is most clearly wrong. and whatever their heart desires and dictates to them. He now says, وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مِنْ رَبِّكُمُ الْهُدَى. And see, Huda cannot be burned. So a hadith on Sahih or Hassan is Huda, guidance. It cannot be burned. So they give that evidence for it. And then they give two hadiths from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The first and the second are reported by Imam Muslim in the Muqaddim of his Sahih. It's just like what we had mentioned about Mu'allakat of Bukhari and his the report that he reports with Isnad. The same thing in Sahih Muslim. If Imam Muslim reports a hadith in his Muqaddimah of Sahih Muslim, it does not mean that it is Sahih. So that's why you say by Imam Muslim in his Muqaddimah, to differentiate it from what is in the Muqaddimah of Imam Muslim and inside Sahih Muslim itself. So in his Muqaddimah, the hadith is Sahih. So you start asking, well, Imam Muslim brought the hadith and you are saying that it's Sahih. Yes, because it is in his Muqaddimah. And his Muqaddimah, he has put some hadiths there that are not Sahih. But in his Sahih itself, every hadith, inshallah, is Sahih. Just accept that one like that. So in that hadith, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that man haddatha anni hadithan yura annahu kazbun fahuwa ahadul kazibain. Man haddatha anni hadithan, whoever gives a hadith from me, he cites from me a hadith, yura annahu kazb, but yura is, there is doubt. It may be true, it may not be true, it may be right, it may not be right. This is hadith and da'if. That's the meaning of hadith. You are not sure that it is the Prophet that said it. In fact, in hadith and da'if, you are most likely sure that the Prophet did not say it. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Because that person is a reporter of weak narrations. But the fact that he regularly reports weak narration does not mean that he cannot report a correct narration. So if a hadith is like this, you can't say he said it, he didn't say it. The Prophet said, Yura annahu kaza. He is still quoting that the Prophet said it. He says, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَهُوَ أَحَدُ الْكَاذِبَيْنِ. He is the second of two liars. Who is the first liar? The person who originated that report. The second liar is the one carrying that report. In another riwayah, أَحَدُ الْكَاذِبِينَ. One of the many liars, one of the many people who would have been carrying around that report. So Ulama said this is evidence that you don't depend on a hadith, except a hadith that you can say the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you can't say Prophet said regarding any hadith, except a hadith that is what, either Sahih or Hasan. The third hadith, or the second hadith they quote, is the hadith also reported by Imam Muslim in his Muqaddimah, that he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, كَفَى لِلْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَنْ يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. It suffices for a man to say that this man is a liar. When they ask, why is he a liar? He just used to narrate anything that he hears. So he will not say, is this Sahih or Da'if? He just reports everything. He mixes everything together. Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, he made iktibas with that hadith. He says, كَفَى لِلْمَرْءِ ضَلَالًا أَنْ يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. Because he'll go astray. As he's hearing and saying anything, he'll be leading himself astray. Because he's hearing and saying just anything. So these are the reasons why the scholars say you don't depend on weak narrations. And Imam Malik, rahimahullah, is also reported by Imam Muslim in the Muqaddimah of his Sahih. He said, rahimahullah, Malik ibn Anas Abu Abdullah, he said, إِلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ يَسْلِمُ رَجْلٌ. Go and understand. You should know that no man will be free. حَدَّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. Who is that? The one who reports just anything that he hears. وَلَا يَكُونُ إِمَامًا أَبَدًا. That kind of a person can never be an imam. يُقْتَدَ بِهِ. He can never be an imam. وَهُوَ يُحَدِّثُ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. While he reports what he hears, just anything, no tamiz, no sahih, no da'if, لَا يَكُونُ إِمَامًا أَبَدًا. He will never be an imam. That's from Imam Malik. And Imam Shafi'i, his student, rahimahullah, Muhammad ibn Idris, also Abu Abdullah, He said, "Kan ibn Sirin wa Ibrahim al-Nakhi," that Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin, from the most learned among the Tabi'un, and Ibrahim al-Nakhi, are one of those who took from the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, one of the fuqaha, very, very learned people from the scholars of hadith and fiqh in Kufa, Ibrahim al-Nakhi. وَغَيْرُ وَاحِدٍ مِنَ التَّابِئِينَ, and many others amongst the students of the companions, يَذْهَبُونَ إِلَىٰ أَنْ لَا يَقْبَلُوا الْحَدِيثَ, they have an opinion that the hadith should not be accepted, إِلَّا عَمَّنْ عَرَفَ, except from a person that really knows what is reporting, وَحَفِظَ, and then he can report without what he has reported, what he has heard, without errors. He memorizes and he knows what he's reporting. وَمَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا, and I've not seen anyone, the person talking is Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, rahmahullah. وَمَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ بِالْحَدِيثِ, I've never seen anyone from among the scholars of hadith يُخَالِفُ هَذَا الْمَذْهَبِ, Imam al-Shafi'i. This is like an ijma'u. He says, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ بِالْحَدِيثِ يُخَالِفُ هَذَا الْمَذْهَبِ, I've never seen anyone from among the scholars of hadith who contradicted this opinion, rahimahullah. وَكَانَ طَاوُوسِ, he wants to give you more evidence, Al-Imam Tawus ibn Kaysan, Imam Ahli Yemen, that Imam Tawus, إِذَا حَدَّثَهُ رَجُلٌ حَدِيثًا, when a man narrates any hadith to him, قَالَ, he will say, إِنْ كَانَ حَدَّثَكَ حَافِظٌ مَلِيءٌ, if the person who has reported this hadith to you is a حَافِظٌ مَلِيءٌ, a hafiz that is loaded with knowledge, if he has reported it, وَإِلَّا فَلَا تُحَدِّثُ بِهِ, if it is not a well-learned person, well-grounded person that has reported the hadith to you, لَا تُحَدِّثُ بِهِ, don't even report it, talk less of acting upon it. You don't tell another person, just let it end there. Imam Shafi said this. He mentioned it in his book Al-Umm, the 6th volume, page 91. There are other scholars who had comments like this, but I think we should move ahead. The last one we'll read, we wrote about three or four others, but the one we'll read to us again is that of Al-Imam Ahmad Muhammad Shakir. He said, rahimahullah, that Walladhi, Imam Ahmad Shakir is from one of the most learned people that has ever come from Egypt. He's done a lot of work from that, is his tahqiq on Musnad Imam Ahmad. He also did a mukhtasar on Tafsir Ibn Kathir. He also started the sharh of Sunan al-Tirmidhi, but Allah didn't permit him to finish the work. He has very many other good works. He has a tahqiq of Tafsir Imam al-Tabari, Imam Ahmad Shakir. He has a very nice book. He has a book, Nizam al-Talaq al-Islam. Well-learned, well-grounded. And his tahqiq of Sahih al-Bukhari is the most reliable today, because he depended on the nuskha of al-Imam al-Hafiz al-Yunani. When al-Imam al-Hafiz al-Yunani was explaining, narrating that Sahih Bukhari in Dimashq, Al-Imam Ibn Malik, who wrote Al-Fi'a Ibn Malik in Nahu, was sitting down. He too was hearing hadith from Muhaddisun, despite his Nahu. So Imam Al-Hafiz Al-Yunani will tell him, إِذَا أَخْطَعْنَا فِي الْأَرَبِيَ فَصَوِّبْنَا, if we make one mistake in Arabic, tell us, okay, but listen to the hadith. So the Muhaddisun, they are the real people. You see all those others, they are kalam, they are just talk. So that nuskha was taught to Imam Ahmad Shakir by his father Mahmud. So it is that nuskha that is getting about popular today, aside the nuskha of Darussalam. It's also getting, in fact, my observation is that Darussalam themselves depended on that nuskha. So Imam Ahmad Shakir, he also has other books. He has a ta'liq, he has a sharh of Al-Fi'a of Al-Imam al-Suyuti. He also has a tahqiq of Ikhtisar Ulum al-Hadith of Imam al-Hafiz ibn Kathir. Well grounded in the science of hadith. If there was a scholar of hadith Sheikh Al-Albani met, and he met, that was Ahmad Muhammad Shakir. But they could not really discuss knowledge. He met him twice, once in Makkah, once in Medina. And on the two occasions, Imam Ahmad Shakir gave excuse, his wife was ill. If you are on Hajj and your wife is ill, you came to your wife and she's ill, wallah, you know that that excuse is a very, very big excuse. Look, my wife is sick, please. So he was attending to her and could not sit down to discuss knowledge with Sheikh Al-Albani. I think that was in about 1943 or 45. Sheikh Al-Albani mentioned it in Tamam al-Minna, that he met Sheikh Ahmad Shakir twice. And that was Sheikh Al-Albani's first Hajj. Because then he was asked to take some soldiers who were returning from, I think, the Second World War. He was asked to take them for Hajj. Many people go to Hajj today, they don't look for scholars. Because they too, they are scholars. Coco. Many Nigerians, they will see them, they will write Sheikh Fulan, like signboards. I've never seen it before except with Nigerian people who lead our people. They write Sheikh Fulan, signboard. What about the Shuyuk who came from all other parts of the world? They didn't write Sheikh in front of them, carrying Sheikh, bandage, blackboard or Sheikh on their chest. So how will those people look for learned people? One tell me that when he went there, he was looking for Ahmad Bumia. Hey, that's your own Sheikh. So when students and teacher Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal met Sufyan ibn Uyayna in Hajj, his opportunity. We also met Abdurrazak ibn Hammam al-San'ani. They met him himself, Ali ibn al-Madini and Yahya ibn Ma'in. They saw Abdurrazak making tawaf. Abdurrazak ibn Hammam came from Yemen. And the report of Imam Ma'mar are to be gotten from Abdurrazak, because he is from the most trustworthy students of Ma'mar ibn Rashid. And Ma'mar ibn Rashid is from the most trustworthy students of Al-Imam al-Zuhri. And you know who Zuhri was in Ilm al-Hadith. So if Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah wants to get the reports of Zuhri, he needs to get Abdurrazak. So he saw him in Hajj. He said, oh, this is the person we are looking for. They said, no, we have seen him, we got the Hadith, but we are still going to Yemen. They came from Baghdad to Hajj. They are still going to Yemen. Please look at your map. When you get to him, you know what we are talking about. They are going on their foot. So they saw and said, yes, we are coming. We are still coming to meet you in Yemen. So they got what they would get, but they still went to Yemen. They stayed there for 6 months. The three of them, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Yahya ibn Ma'in, and Ali ibn al-Madini. Despite the fact that they had met him in Hajj. When our people go to Hajj, they are going to buy jalabia and cap. They are students and malams. So they are not used to doing like that. We are talking about Imam Ahmad Shaki. We want us to know who he is, so we know the qima of his statement. Rahimahullah. He's dead now. He has many very, very beneficial works. Imam Ahmad Shakir. He says, وَالَّذِي أَرَاهُ What I view in this matter, أَنَّ بَيَانَ الضَّعْفِ فِي الْحَدِيثِ الضَّعِيفِ وَاجِبٌ That for a person reading hadith to people, to always say that this hadith is weak, as we are shouting, is wajib on us. Meaning, if we don't do it, we are sinning. Because we are making the people hear something. Prophet say. We are not telling that Prophet did not say. They say that Prophet say. So he said it is wajib. Fi kulli halin, in every condition. لِأَنَّ تَرْكَ الْبَيَانِ يُوهِمُ الْمُتَّلِعَ عَلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ حَدِيثٌ صَحِيحٌ Because if you don't do it, the person who is reading your work, maybe you are writing or listening to you, will be made to think that the hadith you are reading is a hadith, and that is what? Sahih. خُصُوصًا إِذَا كَانَ النَّاقِلِ More so, if the person talking, إِذَا كَانَ النَّاقِلُ لَهُ More so, when the person who is reporting this kind of a hadith, مِنْ أُلَمَاءِ الْحَدِيثِ الَّذِينَ يُرْجَعُ إِلَيْهِ فِي قَوْلِهِمْ فِي ذَلِكِ Is a kind of a person that يُرْجَعُ إِلَىٰ قَوْلِهِمْ فِي ذَلِكِ Whenever people want to know, is the hadith sahih or not? You'll be asking him, is this sahih? Is it not sahih? So when he's talking, if the hadith is not authentic, he should be saying it. This hadith I'm saying is not authentic. And that's why, Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah, it's difficult. When you hear him doing a lesson, if you mention to your hadith, say this hadith is weak. Any hadith you hear from him, rahimahullah, it is authentic. If he does not tell you that it is weak, hold this qaida. If you read any book of Sheikh Al-Albani, that one is rare. If you are reading his book, if you see the hadith, he will tell you. This hadith is authentic. Unless it is reported by Bukhari and Muslim. Even at that, if he has a difference of opinion, he will say it. Rahimahullah. Somebody asked him, why do you always say that? He said, because that is the knowledge Allah has given me. Allah has given me knowledge to be able to differentiate between sahih and da'if. So anytime that I see sahih, I will say sahih. Anytime that I see da'if, I will say da'if. Rahimahullah. He says, وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْنَا عَظِيمًا He has the right to say so. Rahimahullah. So all the time, if you are a person that each time you talk, people think you have said something reliable. If you say a weak hadith, say it that this hadith. is weak. Don't forget, Sheikh Ahmed Shakir had told us that it is also obligatory for you to be saying that it is weak. You must be saying it. He says, wa annahu, and our position also is that wa annahu la farqa bayna al-ahkami wa bayna fada'il al-a'mal. There is no difference between this hadith is on halal and haram, or this hadith is on fada'il al-a'mal. Wa nahwiha fi adam al-akhdh bir-riwayat al-da'ifa, or any other hadith, by opining that the right thing is that we should not take or depend on a hadith that is weak, that is what, weak. Bal la hujjata li ahadin illa bima sahha an rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nobody has any hujjah. Nobody should present anything as a hujjah except something that is authentically reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Min hadithin sahihin, from the authentic ahadith, aw hasanin, all those ahadith that are what? Hasan. This very statement is in his Sharh of Al-Fiyah of Imam Musib. Very, very beneficial book if you have the opportunity to read it. So this is what the scholars have said, and that's why when we read a weak hadith, we say the hadith is weak. We'll be repeating the hadith is weak, so that nobody thinks that, oh, the hadith is authentic. And like we said, if you now ask, why did Imam al-Tirmidhi put the hadith here? What Tirmidhi said he was doing is that ma ruya or ma zukira or kullu ma silbab, all of what is reported regarding this matter. That's what he wants to tell you, whether it is weak or not weak. And he has told you the ones that are weak and the ones that are authentic there by telling you the isnad. And Imam al-Haytami in his Sharh of Shamay, he was mentioning something like that. That the scholars of hadith, when they give you the isnad, they've told you whether the hadith is weak or not. You are the one who now know it or you don't know it. People like Sheikh al-Albani, when they see it, once they are reading the book from the beginning, they know that the hadith is sahih or not from the isnad. They want to see, they know. There are also people around, Allah has blessed. It's not that Allah gave them wahyu from heaven. They read, study. They see, they get to the level when they see this, now they know that this is not this week. It can't be authentic. Or when they hear the word of the hadith, the Prophet does not talk like this. And when you go and find out at the end, you say, oh, it is true. The Prophet didn't say it. So these are the reasons why we have been criticizing weak hadith. We've been criticizing it, that we should not depend on it, because la yufidu illa dhannan, it does not bring any benefit except doubts, and Allah has prohibited us from acting upon doubts. And he intended that when we finish this discussion on hadith and da'if, we'll read at least two hadiths today, but I think the time, our time is far spent. Perhaps there will be one or two questions, inshallah. We'll start the bab next week, inshallah. Okay. We should read at least one hadith. We should start the bab next week. So let's go on with weak hadith and their rulings. Go. And sahih hadith. Okay. Inshallah. Now, alaykum as-salam. We heard that. That somebody is reading Bulughul Maram, for example. So when he reads the authentic ahadith, he has a book that has been verified with tahqiq. Maybe the tahqiq of Sheikh Samir Zuhairi, or the tahqiq of Sheikh Tariq ibn Wadla, or that of Sheikh Muhammad Bayuni, that of Sheikh Hamid al-Faqi, that of Luqman al-Salafi. All these are very good tahqiqat of Bulugh al-Maram. So he's reading any of these, and he's saying this hadith is authentic. He gives you, he explains it, and he brings the ruling out. The next hadith is weak. He will not read it at all. He goes to the next authentic hadith. Right? There's nothing wrong about that. There's nothing wrong about that. But he has not done justice to the book. He has not done enough justice to the book. He has not done justice to the book. If he reads it, he tells them that it is weak. If those people are not up to the level, let them be of understanding things like that. Let them read books that are simple, like Arba'un, or that books that only contain ahadith of Sahih. If they need the ahkam, they should read other books that does not contain ahadith on ahkam and that are based on ahadith sahiha, like Ad-Durar al-Bahiyya of Al-Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah. It's one of the best books on fiqh. Well, I've never heard or seen it being taught. Ad-Durar al-Bahiyya, Imam Ash-Shawkani. He summarized, Sheikh Al-Albani praised that book a lot. He summarized all these issues of fiqh, tahara, salat. He summarized it. And all the positions there are based on hadith of sahiha, except a few of them. But to him, in the judgments of Al-Imam Ash-Shawkani, all the ahadith are sahiha. But just a few, very, very few scanty. It suffices to, especially in people who teach to their children and women. If you teach women that kind of a book, it will really be nice for them because, you know, they may not be able to start knowing all the evidences. So when you are explaining it, you'll be the one be bringing the hadith little by little in a way that they will understand it. So books like that can teach somebody fiqh. It's not compulsory that he must be reading Bulugh al-Maram from the very beginning to learn fiqh. So if he learns a book like that, the person explaining it to will be telling him sahih da'if, sahih da'if, sahih da'if. This sahih da'if, we must be saying it because there are a lot of da'if now. We are in a crisis. If we have lived in the time of the companions now, we would not worry. Everything you hear is sahih. That was what Ibn Sirin said. Everything that we don't know the age when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married Khadija. But what is clear is that Khadija had married two men. I mentioned the man's name, I think, in the last verse. What's his name? Abu Hala. So he had what? Hala and Hind for Abu Hala. And the second husband, he also had Hind for him. Asulam. I remember his mister. If I'm not forgetting, Zurara Asulam. So that's the second husband of Khadija radiallahu anha, before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These ones have reports that may be reliable. But when you talk about the age she was, is a question sign we don't know. And it's not important. If it were important, it would be reported with authentic chain of narration. If you now ask me, so how can we say that an old man or a man of 40 years old can marry a girl of 10 years old and vice versa? I said there are authentic ahadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married Aisha radiallahu anha. How old was Aisha? Six years and 9 months. Yes, because the marriage took place in the month of Shawwal. 10 months. 6 years and 10 months. And that's why in some reports in Sahih Muslim it says Sab'ah. He said she was 7. So the person who reported 7 converted 6 years and 10 months to 7. So, and she came into his house when she was 9 years old. Then she was 8 years old and 10 months. Because that one also took place in Shawwal, in the first year of Hijrah, immediately after the Battle of Badr. So we have evidence from this one, and that's what the scholars have been using, that a man who is old, far older than a girl, can marry a girl that is older than him, that he is older than. So why are they blaming Yarima? So that is on one side. This evidence too can be used, that some scholars use it, can be used that it can happen the other way around. Because as An-Nisa Shaka Iko Rijal, that the women are the opposites of men. So if it can happen that a man that's 40 can marry a girl of 12, then a young boy of 12 can marry a woman of 40. In the same hadith. But we saw something in the ways of the companions that made us understand it can happen. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu had a boy, his name was Abdullah, he married a woman for him. He looked at her on his behalf, he did everything, he married her for him. When my pikin grow, this my wife be this. Ibn Umar. And if you look at Abwab of Talaq, when they are talking about that verse in the Quran, that فَإِن طَلَّقَهَا, that if he finally divorces her, فَلَا يَحِلُّ لَهُ حَتَّى تَنْكِحَ زَوْجًا غَيْرَهُ, it is not permissible for him to marry her until he has married another wife. Then they bring the hadith of Usayla, the wife of Rifa'a. The hadith of the wife of Rifa'a, I've mentioned that hadith once. In that hadith, a woman married her husband, so they had a divorce. Then they got divorced. The husband's name is Rifa'a. So the woman married another man. When she married another man, this man, according to the hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. The male organ of the man is like the thread of a rope. The day this woman was telling the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam this, a companion, he was telling him in the room of Aisha radiallahu anha. A companion was hearing it in the mosque. His head got car. Abu Bakr, tell that woman to stop saying something like that in front of the Prophet to describe a male organ. This is my second organ. His male organ is like. And the Prophet said, Alayhi Salaam, La'allaki turidina an tarji'i ila Rifa'a. Maybe you want to return to Rifa'a. Say yes. I want to go back to that. The Prophet laughed as we laughed. Ha, women. So he laughed, alayhi salam. He now said, La. Hatta. Why are you laughing? The Prophet said, alayhi salam, La. That you can't go back to Rifa'a. Hatta tazuki usaylatahu wa yazuka usaylatak. You can't go back to Rifa'a. Until that husband that you say is male organ is like this, Tazuki Usailatahu, you enjoy him in a real conjugal relations. It means Hatta Tanki Azor Jangeri does not mean Nikah alone. It means a Nikah in which the man had had Jima with her. Not just Jima, real Jima. So Ulama say, oh ho, some people can go and carry a boy and marry that boy to the woman. Do we understand? Mm-hmm. If you marry a boy to that woman that nakahat zawjan ghayrahu, this boy will not hold because his male organ will be like the one of that woman. He's weak. It can't really make her enjoy. Do we understand? So if it is not permissible, that the fuqaha will not say that. So there are many others that makes us understand that a young boy can marry. Even in the issue of talaq, Sheikh Usaimi was saying it, that from the people who cannot give a talaq to their wives, it's a small boy that does not, he has not, he's in Sharon Munti, a small boy that has not become intelligent, that he cannot divorce because he does not know what divorce is. The issue is, how are you asking about that, whether a boy can divorce if he has not married? Do you understand? You can be asking whether a small boy can give divorce. If he has married, if he has not married, you will not be asking about his divorce. But Sheikh Usaimin said, Rahimahullah, if he was asked, hey, small boy, come. What do you want to say? I want to divorce my wife. What do you mean by divorce? Yeah, she will stop being my wife and I will stop being her husband. I just don't want her again. They said the divorce of that kind of a boy, Mumayyiz, is permissible. Because he has known what he wants to do. What we are saying is that he cannot divorce if he cannot marry. So we don't need to start fabricating and ascribing 40 years to Khadija and 25 years to Prophet in a lie, in something that's not authentic, before we can establish that hukum in the Sharia. Did I answer that question? So we stop here, inshallah. We'll continue from the next bab next week. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka.